All right, all right. I want to welcome you. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald. And you're tuned into Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
All right. So I'm really excited. I'm always excited about our topics, but this one is going to be a little bit fun. I think it's going to be controversial. And our topic for today is passwords to share or not to share in a committed relationship. And so we're going to deal with that. But before we get into the topic, I just want to encourage those who are listening, please go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org. Again, that's simplifycomplexity.org. We have a lot of different resources there, and we really like to hear from you. So as you're listening to this, please leave a comment in iTunes or go to the website where you can also leave comments at on the blog. And so we just really enjoy to hear from our listeners. So please. Please go there and check out all the things that we have there and even past episodes. Right. So with that said, Keontae, man, passwords, you know, to share or not to share in committed relationship.
That's a touchy subject.
So, okay. So before you answer, passwords, what exactly are we talking about? Well, we're talking about, you know, just that, the passwords maybe to your phone. So do you give the password, to your wife or to your girl or to your man or to your husband so they can get into your phone at any time, or maybe your computer password or maybe your social media password? And so, you know, just kind of just passwords in general, because, you know, we're very private and, you know, what do you do with those things?
Right. I mean, so like I said, it's a touchy subject, because I think now moving into this the generation that we're in right now, the digital age and the social media age and, you know, the Apple age with iPhones and fingerprints and passwords. It's a sensitive subject because, you know, when we look at ourselves in our generation, you know, most of the time we base ourselves on like, what are we or who are we based on what we have on our social profiles or what's, you know, what's going on our phones. So in a sense, they're kind of
like everything's going on our phones, man. I was even thinking like, I'm just going to be honest. The first thing that came to my mind was like, oh, hell no. Like, you know, nobody can touch my phone. But again, you know, that's just first response. I'm not saying it's the right response. I'm just saying that's the first thing that kind of comes to your mind, because you're protective over those things. So
So
how would you deal with that? I mean, so should we share them? Should we not share them?
I think for me, I'll just use my own experience in my marriage. I'm a sharer, if it's a word for that. And it's not, and I think it goes two ways. You have some people in relationships where it's just like, okay, like, nah, we absolutely have to share our passwords, because that's, you know, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. My wife wasn't the type to, you know, really just force me like, okay, I need your password. But more so, I think we were both willing to share our passwords, whether it be our phone, whether it be our social media platforms. Just because we agree on the one flesh concept.
You know
what I mean? So everything that's going on with me, in a sense, it's everything that's going on with her.
Okay, now we might have some people listening to this, man, and right now they're like, one flesh, like what? Like, what is that? So kind of break that down just a little bit, so it's not in some theological terms as far as what does that mean, one flesh?
So one flesh, pretty much, I mean, I guess the base scripture that I can start at is, you know, Genesis 2:24, where it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And so to just break that down, it's, you know, when it comes to marriage and when you get married, you're no longer, you know, Johnny A and Sally B, you know what I mean? Now you're Johnny and Sally, you know, you're Johnny Sally.
Okay.
If I could put it into an illustration, but you're no longer just two separate individuals. Now you are one. So everything that happens on Johnny's spectrum is going to affect Sally, and everything that happens on Sally's spectrum is going to affect Johnny.
Okay. Now, I'm getting with you, and I'm just going to kind of play the devil's advocate a little bit here, because I know somebody is listening to this, and I hear you. I got it. We're one. But still, even in oneness, is there not privacy? Isn't there not, you know, my things and kind of your things, you know, or, you know, just that area of privacy?
I think to a degree. For instance, the only thing, and my again, I'll use my own experience. The okay. only thing that I keep private from my wife, period, would be something that I'm sharing with an accountability partner that is to married, that is to a husband, that could help me out in areas that I may not, you know, be. And not even a sense an expert, but that I may be trying to work through for my wife. You know what I mean? So if there's something or if there's something going on in my marriage that, you know, I'm trying to work on for myself, not for myself, but for my wife and for the betterment of our marriage in total. But it's something that I'm dealing with, that husbands deal with, then that part of, I guess, our marriage life is private.
Yeah.
But as far as everything else, it's kind of open game. You know, we kind of share everything.
It's an interesting subject because when you start talking about privacy, like how does that work in a committed relationship? And mm-hmm. you know, as I was really thinking about this whole thing, and mind you, there's different dynamics because you could be in a committed relationship, but you're not married. You could be courting or you could be engaged or you're in a committed relationship because you're married. And so even those two differences, married and not married, there's a big difference on how you would handle this and even how you deal with privacy. You know, but my first thought is it's a very subjective subject.
Right.
There's no. Right. I don't know. You might have been going through the scriptures in one flesh, and the two are one. Yeah, you could somewhat apply that, but still, there's no scripture that says, okay, if you have a password and you're married, then you need to share that password. You need to let your wife see your phone, bro. You know. So, so there's no real passage. There's no passage that says that. So, you know, as you talk about privacy. One of the things I was thinking about is dealing with married first, since we're kind of already there, mm-hmm. is your wife or your husband, like they know you, you know what I mean? So when you're married, like they don't just know the good, they know the bad, like they know your funk, you know,
right.
We could be honest, right? So for those that are listening, they know your funk. They know what your breasts smell like in the morning. He knows what you really look like in the morning. Everybody else don't know what you look like in the morning, but he know what you look like in the morning. And they know the birthmarks. They know body dimensions. They know the areas of your body and maybe your butt cheek a little bit, your right butt cheek a little bit bigger than your left butt cheek. And, you know, so I'm just being honest. I mean, married, there's areas that you don't show everyone else, but you show your husband, you show your wife. They know you. They know all aspects of you. And so why is it all of a sudden when it comes to maybe your phone or maybe your computer password or maybe your social media that all of a sudden it's like, well, you can't know that part. And so that's what came. That was just what was coming to my mind is why, if you're right. hesitant to do it, why are you hesitant to do it?
Right, you know. And I think, like I said, for me in my marriage, as for me in my house, I also think, you know, what us sharing our passwords and we knowing each other's passwords, it also holds a bit of accountability to the both of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's countless marriages or countless relationships that I've ran into or people that I've talked to that have experienced some type of trouble in their relationships that stem from the secretive online things. You know what I mean? So
it's real. I was thinking about why I was kind of going back to my younger days when I wasn't always doing the right thing. And I'm sure we've all been there, right? Where you're driving and then a police car is following you. It's behind you. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, you come to realize as you get older is a police car is always following somebody. Right. Somebody it's going to come to somebody. They'll understand that. But just understand the police car is always following somebody. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're like tracking you down or something. They have to follow somebody because they're always driving. So with that, as the police car is behind you, like when you're not doing the right thing, you know, so let's say maybe you're a little buzzed or you got some things in the car that you shouldn't have in the car, whatever it might be, you know, all of a sudden you're like super – nervous. You're like freaking out because you know that you're doing wrong.
Right.
But when you're doing right and you're doing the right thing and the police car is behind you and you're sober and you don't have anything illegal in the car, there's a different feeling. It's like, search me, pull me over. It's like, I don't have anything to hide. And so that's the thing it comes down to is, if you don't have anything to hide, then why wouldn't you share? If you don't have anything to hide, look through my phone. I mean, here, it's going to be a bunch of pictures of you. Or at least it should be, you know. So it comes down to why. If you're hesitant, why? And I think another aspect is, you know, trust. You know, should you have secrets when you're married? And you shouldn't. And if it's an area of trust, then that's an area that you actually need to talk about. If you don't trust your wife or you don't trust your husband enough to share those areas of your life, then it's like, okay, well, why don't you trust them? What, you know, so that's a whole nother subject that needs to be dealt with that's even bigger than just, you know, your phone or your social media. So right. What's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, like, It's just so many layers to this. It's really interesting. It gets interesting. But I mean, that's totally where it stems from, is trust. And
Don't sugarcoat it, man. Just let them have it.
I think even in that sense, some people might find that area of trust as subjective as well, because you get some people that be like, oh, I trust my wife or I trust my husband, you know, so I don't need that stuff. But then you got other people like, yeah, I trust my husband, I trust my wife, but if we trust each other, we both are gonna need those things.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'm gonna say, and you know, for us, for me and my wife, me and Kristen, you know, under our philosophy is, yeah, sure, you know, I trust her. You know, with you know, she's my wife, so naturally I trust her with everything. If I'm in the ER or something like that, and they got me hit to a machine, they go, you know, they ask, hey, do you want to pull a plug? You know, she's the first in line that they're gonna ask. So yeah. You know, of course I trust her with my life, but in the same regard, we have to go back to scripture and just know about the heart of men in general. You know what I mean? And it says that the heart of man is deceitful. So it's not necessarily that, you know, I'm getting into this relationship and I just automatically don't trust you. But we know what the heart can do, or we know where we could go. So it's better to divulge that information of those passwords. And like I said from, you know, earlier, it holds you in an accountability realm, or, you know, in an accountability circle, in a sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, it goes down to, again, if you don't have anything to hide, then why not?
And right.
There's two things I wanted to bring up to you and to our audience is, first, when you're talking about social media, that's an interesting thing, because social media is something that you use to kind of let the world know about you. So is social media in and of itself is not like private, kind of. But mm-hmm. then there are private aspects of social media. Because at first I was like, well, who cares if, why would you even need a password to social media? Because whatever you post normally goes to everyone. And if you're not following your wife or your husband, then, or if they won't let you follow them, then that's a whole other issue. That's like weird. But yeah, if you, matter of fact, if you're dating, you know, and they're not letting you follow them, that's a whole other issue. So, but with that, as I was thinking about, there's a whole nother aspect of social media that goes beyond just what you post. It's those private messages.
Right.
And I think that's sometimes where, you know, your old girlfriend or, you know, your old friend from back in high school, mm-hmm. you know, and all of a sudden now you guys are going back and forth. And it's like, well, those are the things that you're like, well, I don't want my wife or I don't want my husband to see those things. And if you're feeling that way, then it's like, maybe that's inappropriate communication.
Right.
Because go ahead.
No, I was about to say, man, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, okay, for those that don't know, my line of profession is I'm a school bus driver. And, you know, I'm dealing with kids on a daily basis. And this is just even from a kid standpoint. you know, they do certain things and they kind of, you know, like if a kid's about to do something, they kind of, they give you that look, you know, they kind of do that look around. Mm-hmm. And I just always tell the kids, you know, like if you have to even think about, okay, is the bus driver going to see me? Then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Yep, and this is regard to them standing up behind my back. But I mean, like I said, that goes into the same thing that you're saying. If you have to conceptualize that in your mind as, oh, I don't want her to find this out, or I don't want her to see these messages, then you really shouldn't be doing it.
Right. Because Satan really uses those things. And that goes with your phone, too. If you have some texting going back and forth that maybe, you know, again, you're not necessarily cheating on her, but there's a whole conversation going on a regular basis with this woman or with this man that's like, wait a minute, like that's inappropriate and you don't want your wife or your husband to see that, then you need to really reflect and say, you know what, maybe this is inappropriate communication. And a lot of people end up getting into affairs and cheating because of those what's the word I'm looking for? Not serious. That's not the word I'm looking for, man. You know, when things are not serious or just the casual connection, mm-hmm. and they can really turn dangerous. Right. I got a scripture. So you have one. This is kind of one of my go-to scriptures is in 1 Corinthians 7:4. It says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. And in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. And this context is talking about sex, but mm-hmm. in it, you can see something deeper in the fact that when you're married, you share such a connection that you yield. And I really like this. This is the NIV version. I really like the NIV version because it used that word yield. You're not being forced, but you right. understand that, as you mentioned earlier, when you come into a marriage, you're one. And so you yield yourselves to one another. And likewise, you don't have things that you're holding back unless you agree upon them. I think there are going to be times where you might have, again, you don't have secrets, but you have discretion. You have respect for one another. And so you might mutually agree to give each other space. And that's okay. If you come to a place and you mutually agree, like, you know what, I trust you and I want you to have that space. And they likewise say, oh, I want you to have this type of space. And it's that mutual agreement. That's fine. But there still needs to be that trust there. But if you're trying to hold back saying, no, this is my space, you have to understand that your space is their space. There is no my. It's us.
Exactly. So,
all right. So let's get off the married. Now, I know we spent a lot of time there. so let's talk about if you're not married.
Now if you're not married, now this is where, you know, this is where it really gets interesting because
I'm with you. Like you're right. Even trying to think about it, it's like, huh? Cause you're not one flesh.
Right.
These things don't apply. You know what came to my mind? Playing house.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot of times is people are in a dating relationship or they get into a courting relationship. And for those that are wondering the difference, when you're dating, you're data collecting friends. You're friends and you're collecting data to see if you want to get into a committed relationship. When you're in a committed relationship, then you are courting for the purpose of marriage and eventually then you have engagement. And so in that, you could be in this process where all of a sudden you're playing house and you're trying to emulate all the things that would be in a marriage. And that can be, that's not always healthy. That's not always good. And so you want to have trust. And so if you find that you don't have a type of trust and there's a trust issue, then that should be a red flag. But the demand that I need to see your phone, that actually might be something you need to work on because you're dealing with some jealousy issues as well. Right. So, you know, go ahead, expand on what you're thinking, man.
But yeah, I mean, that's true. And like I said, it becomes interesting because of that mix. It's not a one flesh. It's not a super duper commitment. You know what I mean? You're still in the stage where you're still kind of trying to figure things out.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to just keep it real. If I'm trying to figure things out and, you know, we're collecting data, you know what I mean? But if there's someone else that potentially wants to collect data from me as well, I might have that we might have a little back and forth, nothing too serious, but
right.
we might have some data collecting conversations on those, private messages and things of that nature, that if the person I'm immediately collecting data with, they see that, then it might cause a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily because one thing I don't want to stir people this way to say that, oh, that's already, starting a cheating habit. I wouldn't think that it was
what
you're
saying.
Man.
No
yeah, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily call it a cheating habit. It's just your options are open because you're not committed to anything at this point. For example, it's just like working at a job. Just because you're at a job, let's say you're making $16 an hour, and you're at this job already, but another job is calling you and they're trying to offer you $22 an hour. Are you just going to say, well, no, I'm at the $16 an hour job, and I'm just at this point, I'm not even going to entertain any other job because I'm just here. Well, you know what I mean?
That's a whole nother subject, man. That's you just opened up a whole nother can of worms with that one, man. you're not accepting offers. So you're saying right. So you're telling me if you're dating, mm-hmm. And while you're dating, you're still kind of looking. Is that what you're saying?
Right. You still collecting.
So what happens when you're dating your friends? So what happens when you're courting? Are you still looking? Are you still like?
Now, see, courting kind of bumps it up a notch because now courting, it's not a one flesh commitment, but okay. It's a commitment in a sense that you're saying, hey, I'm serious in possibly exploring that one flesh commitment.
Okay. And I do agree with that. I definitely agree that it is that exploring. It's a notch up, but it's not that full fledged. And then that's where you do look for signs of trust and mm-hmm. even the next stage where you get engaged. Yes, you're almost married. And so you are starting to look for more signs of trust and that willingness to share information. And so, again, if you're in a courting relationship, a committed relationship, and you're not married and they won't share areas of their life, then, those are red flags. Those are things like, well, wait a minute, the longer we're together, the more that we share with one another. So,
right.
All right. Well, man, did you have any other thoughts, man, on the subject?
I would say, I guess my final thought would be, I'll direct this to the married people out there. If this is an area, that I guess brings up a lot of tension, in your marriage or in your relationship, you really just need to come to a place and just think it over, really reflect on yourself and ask yourself whether the tension is from you not sharing your password because you don't feel that that doesn't need to be in my marriage or whatnot. Really, really think that over and think back on that one flesh concept. If you have nothing to hide, if you're doing, if you're doing everything by the book, if you don't have no warrants or nothing like that, you don't have to worry about the police being behind you. So what's the problem?
What's the problem? And I actually want to finish with this thought is that, there have been really difficult situations when a spouse passes away and that mm-hmm. other spouse has to begin to look for paperwork and begin to get information, but because they didn't share it. And this happens a lot of times with men, they don't share certain things. So they don't even know the life insurance because they keep that locked up. And I've heard reports and I've seen it where somebody passes away. The spouse can't even get on the phone to get pictures, to get family pictures because they did not have that information. And so it makes it very difficult for a family that is grieving and a family that is trying to pay for arrangements. And so there aren't secrets in a marriage. So that's the final thought I want to leave with.
Yeah, that's good. That's real, real.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and finish up in prayer. So I'll go ahead and close this out. Father, we thank you for this word. And Father, we just pray that this was just encouraging for somebody. that it was helpful for somebody, somebody that was really struggling in this area, that Father, that you would just use this for your glory. And Father, really wrestle within them. As Keontae said, help them to really wrestle with you, not just to stick with what they want, but Father, to really just challenge their heart, their view, and really ask why. Why am I holding this back? What is it that I'm afraid of? And if it's a trust issue that you don't trust them, then that's something that they need to talk about. But if it's not a trust issue, it's more of insecurity, then Father, they need to deal with that and really make sure that they're doing the right thing, that they're, if there's inappropriate communications, that they deal with those, because those are not healthy for the relationship. So we thank you, we love you, and we pray that this podcast episode was a blessing to somebody. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, till next time, God bless you and God keep you. Put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. In the house of the Lord, yeah. This is what you're looking for. Come on, stand up. Put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. I'd rather be your people, I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you would love. I. You